We turn in the Holy Scriptures to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For our scripture reading, we will read the second half of the chapter, beginning at verse 12, reading to the end. The concluding exhortations of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonian congregation, and we consider this morning one of those exhortations, verse 18. Verse 18 will be our text. So let's read together, beginning at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Call your attention to the exhortation found in verse 18, which is our text for this Thanksgiving service. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we gather for worship on this Thanksgiving day, we give thanks for very specific things. The material things that God has given us, and bountifully so, out of his goodness and care for us as his people, we celebrate the bountiful provision of God's providence for us at the end of the growing season, as the harvest has been brought in, and as we look forward to tasting some of the fruits of that harvest that await on our tables when we arrive home. We celebrate God's bounty, and we celebrate the good family relationships that God has given us in the faith as we gather with our families, perhaps in a smaller gathering in this unusual year, but nonetheless, we enjoy those relationships. But the focus of this Thanksgiving Day is not on the things that God has given, but upon the good giver of all of those things. And indeed, if these things are to profit us, they must direct us to the giver so that we thank him and glorify him. That's the point of Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving isn't about the things, it's about the giver of the good things. And our observance of Thanksgiving Day is meant to have an influence upon the rest of our days that follow. We all know that the purpose of Thanksgiving is not to just get our thankfulness done today so we don't have to worry about it the rest of the year. Of course not. The purpose of Thanksgiving is to set aside a space of time in order to ponder all of the good that God has given us and lift our hearts up in thankfulness and be reminded of what is our duty each and every day and in every circumstance to give thanks to our good God. Thus, the exhortation in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 is pertinent and appropriate for us to hear today. In this text, God, through the inspired apostle, sets before us our daily duty. Calls us today, but also every day, to give thanks. to give thanks to Him who is good and the overflowing fountain of all good. And the text calls us, no matter who we are, to be giving thanks continuously. That's the idea of the text. It's not just a one-time or an occasional thing, but it's a call to a continual lifelong activity. This is an essential part of the lifelong doxology that is the Christian life. The substance of that doxology is thankfulness. But the text also has something very important to teach us. Not only every day are we to give thanks, but in everything. It's not only all of us that are to give thanks, but it's all of us in whatever circumstance, condition, state of life or affairs that we find ourselves in God's providence today and tomorrow and the rest of the year and every day of our lives. In everything, give thanks. So let us open our hearts to this instruction so that it may encourage us, so that it may cultivate greater gratitude in our hearts, so that it may also expose where we may be holding on to ingratitude and in what areas of our lives we may be refusing to give thanks. May the Word of God be a seed that is sown in our souls, that springs up and bears the fruit of fuller, riper, beautiful, sweet thanksgiving for the glory of our good God. So we consider this morning 1 Thessalonians 5:18 under the theme, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. We answer three questions. First, what? What does this mean? Secondly, when? When are we called to do this? Thirdly, why? What's the reason the text gives us? In everything, give thanks. What, when, why? The text is God's command to us, in everything, give thanks. There's the content of the command, give thanks. The text doesn't specify to whom, because it doesn't need to. It's patently obvious. Give thanks to God. What does it mean to give thanks? Well, to give thanks means to give joyful praise and express heartfelt appreciation to God for the good He bestows on you. That's what it means to give thanks. To give joyful praise and express heartfelt appreciation to God for His goodness to you. This is at the heart of worship, offering the sacrifice of joyful praise to God for His goodness. This came out in our call to worship this morning in Psalm 100, where there's a command. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And you understand the parallelism there. Entering His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Thanksgiving and praise are identified. We thank God by praising Him. Psalm 100 goes on, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Blessing His name is the expression of our thanks. And then, for the Lord is good. There's the reason. There's what we bless Him for. We thank Him, praise Him, and bless Him because He's good. The first thing of thanksgiving is acknowledging God's supreme goodness. The first thing of thanksgiving is acknowledging what Jesus taught the rich young ruler. There is none good but one God. Because as the Belgic Confession says in Article 1, God alone is the overflowing fountain of all good. When we acknowledge that God is good and the overflowing fountain of good, then we will understand that every single good thing that comes into our possession in this life comes directly from the hand of God's providence. Whatever we have is a gift of God for which we must be thankful. James 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. 1 Timothy 6 verse 17, the Apostle Paul exhorts the wealthy not to trust in their uncertain riches, but in the living God. And the living God, he goes on to describe as the one who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Giving thanks is acknowledging God's goodness and praising Him for that goodness. extolling him for the goodness that he shows to us and the good gifts that he lavishes upon us. And so that praise then also takes the form of heartfelt appreciation for the good bestowed. Our hearts are filled with appreciation for what God has given us because we know we don't deserve any of it. Not a grain have we earned for ourselves. Not a morsel of bread do we deserve from the hand of God, and yet he lavishes so much upon us. And so our hearts then should become swollen with gratitude, such that it is our joy to render unto him grateful returns of ardent love. That's thankfulness. That's what today is about. Not just today. That's what your life is about and mine. Joyfully praising God and expressing heartfelt appreciation for his supreme goodness. Thanksgiving Day is always the day to let our minds linger, lovingly linger upon all of the good that God gives us. And so we do that a moment. Why? What reasons have you to praise God this morning, to give him thanks? Well, ranking first, of course, in the lengthy, long list of reasons we have to thank God, ranking first are all of the spiritual graces that the ascended Christ pours out on you and me from his throne at God's right hand. Ranking first among our reasons for thankfulness are all spiritual blessings in heavenly places bestowed upon you and me through the operation of the Spirit of Christ within us. The blessings of salvation, the fruits of the harvest of Calvary, these are the best of God's good and perfect gifts, the richest of the riches he gives us richly to enjoy. Thank him for your salvation. Contemplate the wonder of grace towards you. Think upon that chiefest of all blessings, the forgiveness of all of your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the foundation of your untouchable joy, the source of your inexhaustible peace. Forgiveness. Let your mind linger on the gift of faith, the gift of faith kindled in your heart by the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit, which enables you to receive this word and to see the goodness of God to you and to be assured that all things by his hands work for your good. Faith, that most precious gift, faith that unites and connects you to Christ, faith which is knowledge, knowledge of him whom to know is eternal life, faith which gives confidence in life and in death. The blessing of freedom. Freedom from the power and dominion of sin. Freedom in the Spirit. Freedom to live the liberated Christian life of gratitude to God. The fruits of the Spirit sown in your heart by the sovereign grace of God, cultivated by the continual operation of that grace so that they blossom in your heart, even though your heart by nature is a rotten place where no seeds could grow, yet grace has made it the seedbed and the garden of the fruits of the Spirit. What do we do in response to that? Not look at ourselves with pride, but give thanks to God for every good thing brought forth in us is from him. Blessings of salvation. What reason we have to give thanks. But even though those rank first and are far above all others, that doesn't stop us from going on down the list of the reasons we have to thank God. Oh, there are all of those earthly goods and material blessings that God gives us for our well-being in our earthly lives here below as physical creatures. God is a God who cares for us completely. He gives us the greatest gift of salvation, but he also doesn't neglect our earthly needs. As he has called us to live in this world, we give thanks for the bounties of God's providence, which he richly bestows upon us. The bounties of providence, which in the case of the elect alone, are accompanied by God's favor, so that they do not work our destruction, but are tools in the hands of God to work our good, so that they truly profit us. Every morsel of food, every crumb of bread, every cent that comes into our possession is given to us by God with fatherly love. The creature itself, as we know from 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, is good. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. We are to receive those good gifts from God with thanksgiving. Your daily bread. Jesus teaches us to pray for it every day. But implied in that is also thanking God for it every day. Today, yes, as we partake of an abundance of that bread, but let that stir us up to give thanks to God every day for our daily bread that strengthens the heart of man and feeds our family. But not only our daily bread, we are to give thanks for the bounty God has given us. What bounty we have. Not only the bread that strengthens the heart of man, but the oil that makes his face to shine and the wine that makes glad his heart. We give thanks for that. We give thanks to God for his sovereign control over the weather and all of the powers of creation which he uses with fatherly care for our good. The water from his chambers with which he showered the fields in the year gone by, causing the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb for the service of man. We give thanks for the planting season finished, the growing season finished, and the harvest now gathered in. We give thanks for the infrastructures of our modern society, which God's providence sovereignly governs so that the fruits of the earth are there for us. For us modern men and women, many of us don't see the process from soil to table. We must never forget that that doesn't just happen. God superintends and guides and governs that whole process to provide for us. Give thanks for the roof that we go home to, that shelters us from the rain, for the furnishings that we find under that roof, for the family that we dwell with under that roof, for the community, the covenant community in which we live, and on we can go. How much good God has given us. We have to leave an innumerable number of things unnamed. Give God the glory. The text says, give thanks, praise him joyfully for all he has given. While understanding now the content of the exhortation, let's for a moment see a couple of things concretely, how we go about showing that thankfulness and appreciation to God. We're called to give him thanks. How concretely do we do that? The Bible teaches us so much about giving thanks. Here's where a catechism is helpful. Catechism, which draws together all of the diverse lines of biblical teaching and summarizes them in a simple way. Remember what our Heidelberg Catechism teaches about the service of gratitude in the third section? Third section of the Catechism is all about how I am to show gratitude to God for my deliverance, for my salvation, for all of his goodness to me. And the Catechism summarizes the life of gratitude as two things especially. Obey and pray. Obey God's law for his glory and pray. Live a life of prayer for his glory. And so we can apply both of those things here to this text. Give thanks. How do we give thanks concretely? By obeying God and by praying to God and walking with him in prayer. We begin with the second, prayer, because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. How do you thank God? It's simple. Tell him you're thankful. Vocalize your thanks. Put it into words and bring those words to him in prayer. That may sound so simple that we say that there's got to be something more to it, but that's the heart of it. God's a speaking God. He called the worlds into existence by the power of his divine speech. Speech is communication. Speech is a means of fellowship. And God created us unique among his creatures that he has endowed us with the power of speech so that we might use the power of speech to glorify him, to bless his name, to convey our thanks to him. God, our Father, desires to be glorified through our speaking thanks to him from the heart. That's how you thank someone. You tell them how thankful you are. And you praise them. So that's how we thank God, by bringing our thanks to Him in prayer. But not just here and there, but living that life of prayer, walking in conscious covenant communication and covenant communion with Him, so that our hearts, which are swollen with thanks, burst forth with thanksgiving, time and time again, spontaneously, throughout the day, throughout our life. That's glorifying God with thanksgiving. That's prayer, the chief part of thankfulness. And that's delightful. It's delightful to God, who hears and receives those prayers through Jesus Christ. Now, this requires of us that we think about the things that we're thankful for. We think about the things that God has given us. The thankful Christian loves to linger on the reasons he has to give thanks. We must do that for our hearts to become swollen with thanksgiving. When we're thoughtless, we're prone to be thoughtless sometimes, aren't we? When we're thoughtless, we're often thankless. It's so easy to take God's gifts for granted. We stop seeing them. We stop being conscious of their number and their greatness. And when that happens, our thankful prayers can become robotic. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. And the stock phrases come from our mouths, but they have little actual content. That's something we have to beware of. To illustrate, we've all received a letter in the mail that's a mass-produced thank you, right? A letter comes in the mail from some company. Thank you, valued customer, for your support, for your contributions. We couldn't be the company we are without you. Now, what do you do with that? You take a magnet and put it up on the fridge? Of course not. It's impersonal. And it's really meaningless because you know that this is one of 10,000 letters that were just printed off and sent to the mailing list. It doesn't have any heart in it. Well, are our prayers ever like that mass-produced mail-out using the stock phrases with very little heart in it? Sometimes that's what our thankfulness is reduced to when we don't consciously think about all the reasons we have to give thanks and we don't walk daily in that thanksgiving. We take God's good gifts for granted and our hearts become cold to them. And so there's a calling in the text. Think daily about why you are thankful and live out that thankfulness. But a last thing in connection with prayer, that chief part of thankfulness, public prayers. Here, worship. What is congregational worship? It's the corporate thanksgiving of the body of Christ. It's the collective offering of the sacrifice of thanks to God. That's part of our calling too. We show our thankfulness to God by coming to Him and praising Him in corporate worship. Our call to worship was a command just to do that. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Not just any gates, His gates and His courts with praise. God calls us, come to church. Come to church on the Lord's Day. Give me thanks. Praise me for all of the good I have given you in Jesus Christ. Coming to church and participating wholeheartedly in public worship whenever there is a call to worship is a demonstration of thankfulness to God. That also means we don't want to come to church. If we'd rather do other things, if we're quick to find excuses not to come, that's an indicator that our hearts aren't very thankful at that time. And we don't see thanking God as something important enough to give our whole effort to. And so there's a calling, come to church and participate wholeheartedly in public worship that glorifies God and identify wherever there might be ingratitude in our hearts which stands behind a lack of desire to come. Prayerlessness is a symptom of thanklessness, and prayerlessness in turn makes thanklessness worse. So how do we give thanks to God? Prayer. But now secondly, we pray and obey. Give thanks to God by obeying His Word. Catechism students, especially the Heidelberg Catechism students, are familiar with the third use of the law, are we not? God has given us His Ten Commandments as a God-given guide to gratitude. That's the outstanding function of the law in the Christian life. It's not a roadmap to heaven. It's a guidebook for how we glorify God. It shows us how we are to express our thankfulness. The law, the Ten Commandments, reveals God's will, what pleases Him, the kind of life that is that brings glory to His name. So what does thanksgiving look like in action? Prayer, yes, but also obedience to God's word. It's not just prayer. It's also obeying God's law. That's how we show thankfulness. We are to thank God not only with our lips, but also with our lives. We are to thank God not only in word, but also in very deed. And if we don't, our words of thanks, our prayers, are in danger of becoming lip service. Obey and pray. This is how we thank God. But now, particularly with respect to the good gifts that God bestows upon us, we give thanks with these gifts by obeying God in how we use these good gifts. Or to put it another way, we give thanks to God by using His good gifts only as He directs in His word. Giving thanks is not this. Thank you, Lord, for your good gifts. My food, my clothing, my house, my money. Thank you for giving it to me. Now it's mine. And now I get to do with it whatever I want, and nobody better tell me otherwise. Oh no. Here's an important difference between God's giving of gifts to us and gift giving among men. When God gives us something, it stays His. It doesn't become ours. It's still His. Whenever God gives us something good, He is entrusting it into our stewardship to utilize for His glory according to His word. God never gives us something so that it's mine to do with as I please. For example, if we turn to 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 and 18, we see this idea of obedience with God's good gifts being the way we thank Him. 1 Timothy 6, we read verse 17, but we'll read it again. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 18, Paul says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." But now, what do you do with those things that God giveth richly to enjoy? That, here's the purpose, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. God defines how we enjoy the things that He gives us richly to enjoy. Do good with them. Glorify me with them by obeying my word. So, for example, thankfulness for food and drink and income is not just saying in prayer, "Thanks, Lord," though that is so important. That's the chief part of thankfulness. Never diminish that. But what must also follow is that now I obey God's word in connection with all of my eating and drinking. Eating and drinking money does not become an idol, but rather all of this mammon is a tool that I use to glorify the one true God. I don't make food my God, but I eat and drink for God's glory. I eat and drink to be strengthened in order that I may use that strength to serve Him better, more faithfully, more diligently. Giving thanks for our income is not just saying, "Thank you, Lord, for my paycheck." It's not only abiding by the negative requirement of the Eighth Commandment, not stealing, but it's being willing to distribute, willing to communicate, seeking to do good, to glorify God with all that He has given me. And so you see, beloved, how do we give thanks and glorify God? We give thanks by prayer, thankful prayer, and thankful obedience. When? Now we come to the most challenging part of the text, which we naturally respond to with the words "impossible." When does God require that we give thanks? And the answer of the text is the first words of the text. put right up front for emphasis' sake. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. That's when you are to thank God. That's when you are to praise Him for His goodness. That's when you are to prayerfully go to Him and express your appreciation to Him. That's when you are to obey His commandments. In everything. Now, lest we misunderstand what that means and our misunderstanding lay upon us a crushing burden that the text does not intend to give us, we need to look carefully at the language of the text to see first what it is not saying. The text says, in everything give thanks. Let's look at everything first. Everything means everything that you can put under the word thing. Every life situation, every life circumstance, every life event. Lord's Day 10 gives us some examples. Rain and drought, sickness and health, barren years, plentiful years, riches, poverty. Everything, every life circumstance. That's what's in view. But now the text says, in everything give thanks. And that preposition is important. We have to understand why that preposition is used. The text doesn't say, for everything give thanks, but in everything give thanks. And that's an important distinction. The text is not telling us that we should rejoice in that which is evil in and of itself. The text does not say that we ought to be delighted when adversity befalls us, delighted in that adversity in and of itself. The text is not seeking to erase the distinction between prosperity and adversity. The text is not demanding that we pretend evil really isn't that evil, or that adversity doesn't hurt, or that there's no difference between the two. That may sound super spiritual, but it's really a crushing burden that no one can bear. To make this clear, consider an example. The Christian man who has just lost his job and is facing financial difficulties, he doesn't rejoice that he lost his job. The Christian whose spouse has been diagnosed with terminal cancer does not leave the doctor's office saying, "I give thanks for that diagnosis." As we'll see in a minute, the Christian must give thanks in that. Christian parents who have a wayward child, who would go to them and say, "Be thankful for that waywardness, it's a great thing"? What Christian man would say, "Lord, I thank thee that I lost my temper today, yelled at my wife, and blasphemed thy name. That was good. I'm glad I did that"? Of course not. God doesn't require us to give thanks for and rejoice in evil or bad things in and of themselves. But what he does command in the text is give thanks in everything. That is, in the midst of everything, in connection with everything that God in His sovereignty has put in your life. Those evils are under the control of God, and God gives them to you for your good, according to His eternal plan and purpose. And that's where the goodness is. It's in God's purpose. It's in God's plan. It's in what God's doing through those evils. And therefore, we must give thanks in them. Give thanks in the midst of every life situation. Give thanks in connection with every life event. This idea is expressed in Philippians 4, where the Apostle Paul says, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." He talks about hunger. When Paul was feeling the pangs of hunger, he wasn't delighted and rejoicing in those pangs, but he was still content, and he did still give thanks because his faith rested in the goodness of God, which is unchangeable, the goodness of God, which is being accomplished and worked even in those evil circumstances. So when God brings evil into our lives, when He sovereignly gives us adversity, trials, sufferings, our calling is to give thanks in the midst of them, to give thanks in connection with them, to give thanks to God for what He's doing through them, for the good that He is accomplishing by means of them, for His eternal good plan that He is realizing by means of that trial, that adversity, that evil. God gives us adversity, and God gives it to us for good, even if the thing that He uses in and of itself is not good. That's the faith Job had in Job 13, verse 15, when he said of God, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him." That's the faith of the child of God. Though God slay us with manifold adversities, with great evils that He brings into our lives, yet will we trust Him that His way is good, though it is higher than ours, that what He is doing is good. And so we praise Him, we thank Him, we express our appreciation to Him, even in the midst of that affliction which feels as though it's slaying us. To help make this clear, we go back to those real-world illustrations. That Christian man who's just lost his job, God took his job away. That was God's sovereign intervention in his life. God took his job. The financial difficulties that he has, God has given him those difficulties. Though that man doesn't rejoice and give thanks for the fact that his job is gone, he acknowledges that God is sovereign over this, and he gives thanks for God's good purpose in this. He gives thanks to God for what God has taught him through this adversity. He thanks Him for the lesson in trust that he's learned. He thanks God for the lesson in good stewardship that he's been learning through this. He gives thanks and praises God through the whole experience of that adversity. The Christian who just left the doctor's office and her husband has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. She doesn't leave the doctor's office with the words on her mouth, "I give thanks that my husband is dying." She leaves that doctor's office with the words, "I give thanks to God for His comfort, because I know He's sovereign over this. And though the loss of my husband is a grievous evil that saddens my heart, God is doing it for my good, and I trust Him. I know this is best. And so I lean on Him. I thank Him for His mercies, which are new every morning. I thank Him for the gift of family and church who rally beside me to comfort me. I thank Him above all for Jesus Christ, who has transformed death into the doorway to glory. I thank Him for the hope I have, knowing with certainty where my dear spouse is going and the glory that will be his." That's giving thanks and rejoicing in adversity. And so we see, beloved, no matter what we are in, no matter what God's sovereignty has dealt you today, your calling is the same. Give thanks in everything. What makes it hard for you to give thanks? Are there things like that? Are there things, adversities in connection with which you struggle to give thanks? Those are the things the text addresses and calls you by faith to look to God, who is the good giver of those adversities, and to thank Him for what He's doing through those adversities, even if you can't see the good yet. Faith sees the unseen. Faith is confident in the unseen. Faith looks to what the physical eyes don't see. Faith gives thanks to God, even in the crucible of adversity. Faith gives thanks for God's unchanging goodness and His sustaining grace. So we give thanks. We give thanks in connection with sickness. We give thanks in connection with COVID. We give thanks in connection with government restrictions. We give thanks in connection with the outcome of the election. We give thanks in connection with absolutely everything that we call bad. Not to deny the reality of evil. Not to say that it is wrong to suffer or to grieve when evil is brought into our life, but to set before us that comforting reality that the sovereign good God is working good and is accomplishing His good purpose. And for that, we give Him our hearty thanks. thank him for that good that he accomplishes. We thank him for the refinement of our faith. We thank him for the sanctification of our life, for the growth of patience that he works through those adversities. We thank him for the hidden blessings that he causes to emerge out of those adversities. We give thanks for his heavy chastising hand upon us, which turns us from sin and turns us to him and strengthens our faith. In absolutely everything, we give thanks. So in that connection, there is a sense in which you can say, we give thanks for everything. Not that we rejoice in evil in and of itself, but we can say that we give thanks for everything with the understanding that we give thanks for the good that God works in everything. In everything, give thanks. A couple brief applications then. Our sinful flesh says no when we hear this. So an important application is that by faith and by the grace of God, we strive to remove whatever roadblocks stand in the way of giving thanks in everything. One of the biggest spiritual roadblocks is simply our selfishness. And that desire that is so deeply embedded in the sinful nature that wants to be God and be God of my own life. So often we make our thankfulness and our happiness dependent on our circumstances, don't we? What we end up doing is creating our own conditions for thankfulness. I can give thanks when this happens. I will give thanks if that doesn't happen. I will be thankful when I have this or when that is taken away. But the reality is, it's never the case that we can't give thanks. Too often the reality is we're unwilling to give thanks because we create conditions for ourselves. We like to try to dictate to God the terms of thankfulness. All right, if you treat me this way, if you arrange my life this way, if you give me these things and keep these things from me, then I will be thankful. That's our sinful flesh. No, God, I'll be God, and I'll decide when thankfulness to thee is appropriate. The Bible says, oh no. Give thanks in everything. You're not God. God is God. And God will be the God of your life. And God will arrange your life the way he wants. And in whatever way he arranges your life, your calling is, give him thanks. That means adversity. Our sinful flesh wants what's comfortable. And our sinful flesh would rather be comfortable than conformed to the image of Christ. But the hard reality is, lots of comfortable things don't get us very far spiritually. And God is far wiser than us. He knows that it's the adversities that get us somewhere spiritually. It's the adversities which are a powerful tool to conform us to the image of Christ. And that's what God is after. God is more concerned about conforming us to the image of Christ than giving us a comfortable way in this life. Faith must embrace that truth. And when faith embraces that truth, faith gives thanks in everything, even in the midst of adversity. Because then faith sees what God is doing. And faith understands it's actually in adversity that I'm being the most blessed. Because that's when God's work is full strength, conforming me to the image of Jesus Christ. So we see in adversity we actually have an extra reason to give God thanks. Because we know what he's doing with it. And we know that in that adversity, he's accomplishing a great work in us and getting us somewhere spiritually, somewhere we likely wouldn't get if we kept going on in a comfortable, adversity-free way of life. So we must remove that roadblock, that spiritual roadblock. But a second application. Give thanks in everything. Pray in everything. And obey in everything. If giving thanks is performed by prayer and obedience, If that's how we show God thanks, then the text calls us pray in everything, in connection with every life circumstance, and obey in the midst of every life circumstance. Part of giving thanks to God is prayer without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, right before our text, pray without ceasing. It's not a coincidence that that's right before our text. That's part of how we give thanks in everything. We pray without ceasing. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul says, pray in everything. And it's striking, isn't it? He says, make your requests known unto God with supplication and thanksgiving. Supplication and thanksgiving go together. They're not opposites. They're not opposed. It's not that the thankful Christian never asks for anything from God. No, we thank God and we ask at the same time. When you're in the midst of an adversity, you may have the earnest prayer rising to heaven, Father, deliver me from this evil. Father, lift your heavy hand from me. Father, if it be thy will, take this from me. And at the same time say, Father, I thank thee in the midst of this adversity because I know what you're doing with it. I give thee thanks. I give thee glory. Even as I pray that thou wilt lift it according to thy wisdom. Giving thanks along with prayer and supplication is a means that God uses to strengthen us in those hard adversities. Giving thanks in adversity keeps us from being consumed by it, dominated by it, controlled by it. Pray without ceasing. Walk in constant communication and communion with God. When we do that, we will find we are able to give thanks in everything. Corporate worship is part of that. When we're in adversity, there's nothing better than coming and participating in corporate worship. Think of Psalm 73. Asaph was envious of the wicked. He saw their prosperity. He looked at his own sufferings. He looked at the sufferings of the godly, and he almost fell. He was so distraught. But then, verse 17 says, he came into the sanctuary. And it was in the sanctuary, hearing the word of God, that he had his vision corrected, that he had his own sin exposed, that he saw the goodness of God in all things, and what God was doing with the prosperity of the wicked, as well as what God was doing with the suffering of the saints. And in public worship, he was strengthened to give thanks to God again. Pray in everything. Obey in everything. Give thanks to God in all circumstances, by following his word in those circumstances. A temptation of our sinful heart is when we land in a trial to set God's word aside and resort to our own human wisdom. We think we know what's best, how best to handle this, what the right way is. But that's the folly of our sinful nature. The way to thank God in adversity is to set aside our own wisdom and cleave all the more to his word. Obey in the midst of adversity and glorify God in that way. When do we give thanks? In everything. Why? Last part of the verse, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. That's enough for the believer, isn't it? That's enough. It's God's will. And the believer who loves God, who loves God's will, who delights in the things God delights in, says, that's all I need. God's will for me, his desire for me, his good pleasure for me is that I give him thanks in everything. That's God's will. His will revealed in his word. And it's his will for a good reason. God made us to be his special creatures who praise him in a special way. He created us and redeemed us to thank him for his goodness. Now, all of creation praises God. The rocks praise God. The trees praise God. The expanse of the heavens praise God. But man praises God in a unique way because God made you and me moral, rational creatures, self-conscious, with hearts and minds. so that we consciously receive God's good, and our intentional, willful, heartfelt response to God's goodness to us is that we give Him thanks. That's how God is pleased to glorify Himself. He glorifies Himself in all the works of His hands. He's glorified by the birds that sing. He's glorified by the expanse of heaven. But He's most glorified by His redeemed people giving Him thanks according to His will. And so what a wonderful calling this is. What a wonderful calling. Give thanks in everything. Think about it. When you're in an adversity, God has given you an opportunity to do the most important thing in the universe, glorify Him by thanking Him. That's awesome. That lifts our hearts. Whatever our earthly way is, whatever we're in the midst of, God is giving us an opportunity to do the most important thing in the universe, glorify Him by giving thanks in that thing that He has given us. That's God's unchangeable will for you and me. In Christ. In Christ. That's the only possibility. And that's ultimately the reason why we can give God thanks. It's God's will for us in Christ. That is His will of love. This is God's goodwill towards us in Jesus Christ. This is His will revealed to us in Jesus Christ in light of what Jesus has done for us. In light of what Jesus has done for us, we know and are assured that all things work together for good. In light of what Jesus Christ has done, we trust God our Father to do us good in all things. After all, He's the God who sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. If He did that for us, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If God be for us, who can be against us? In Christ, we can, we must, and we do give thanks. In Christ, we have an inexhaustible storehouse of reasons to give thanks in everything. If you ever think you can't give thanks, you've lost sight of Christ. Christ has sown light and life for you through His bitter passion and death. Christ has reaped the harvest of salvation blessings for you. Christ bestows those blessings abundantly upon you. Christ has outspread the table before you with the meal of the bread of life laden upon it. He has given you the cup of salvation, a cup which only ever runneth over. He has filled you with all spiritual blessings, given you a place in His house and His kingdom forever. You belong to Him body and soul, and belonging to Him body and soul, all things are yours, and your life is hid with Him in God. In Christ, we give thanks in everything. So let us do that today. In Him, and for His glory. Give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Amen. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for this encouraging, this instructing, and this powerful word concerning our calling to give thanks in all things. Apply Thy word to our hearts, that we may bless Thee and thank Thee each day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.